peoples of the humans of the world.
Yes, so welcome to This True with Adrian and Melissa.
Hey y'all,
how you doing?
You know, living this life, being great, because what else will we be but great?
Living the dream,
right?
That's right. Yes. So we're gonna kick off today with a quote. It is, the first step of changing is to become aware of your own bullshit.
Ooh.
And it goes fabulous with the topic today, because today is owning your shit.
That's what it's about,
right?
If it's yours, you should own it.
Well, we're gonna talk about it, because a lot of people have a hard time with it. But so before we get into that, can we talk about the definitions, Miss Melissa?
Well, today we are going to discuss accountability.
That's right.
And owning. Accountability is the fact or condition of being accountable or responsibility. And owning is to admit or acknowledge that something in the case or that one feels a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, let's deal with this Webster knowledge.
Well, we might define it our own selves.
Right.
Well, I'm excited today because we've got a guest in the house.
Hey, we like guests. We like guests.
And this woman is a dear friend of mine. She's got an energy and a spirit about her unlike other. Mm. So with that being said, we are going to welcome Kellyn Bradwell.
Oh, hey, girl.
Come join us, and then I can talk about you. Yes.
We'll talk about you in your face.
That's how we like it.
We like it.
Okay, I'm curling up, y'all.
As you should.
Yes,
okay, that's
comfy.
How we do here.
Get comfy.
Hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
So to tell our lovely listeners about this Miss Kelly right here, she is a loving and authentic woman dedicated to helping all women remember to put themselves first, heal their hearts, and build community. All are necessary to live fully and fulfill their destiny while being the most authentic you. Mm. Kelly is now just recently a Reiki 1 practitioner, girl.
Yay!
Congratulations.
We need more healers in this world.
We do.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Reiki's everything.
So, yeah, that just happened this weekend. So, congrats,
my
dear.
I'm so excited. Toot-toot.
Yes. She is also a women's empowerment facilitator, owner of Sweet Freedom, a company committed to holding a safe space and vibration for women to gather, uplift, and support each other. Mm. She is also the co-owner of Beautiful Truth, a company committed to self-care, growth, and empowering women.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes, ma'am.
So with all that, we welcome you, boo.
Yes,
you. I'm glad to be
welcome.
Here. This is exciting.
Yay. And I'm really excited. I just want to mention, Beautiful Truth, I'm really excited to mention that their first product that is out on the market, it is called A Girlfriend in a Box.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it really is, though.
And so we kind of love it, but I just want you to just tell a little bit about your baby and what it is, so that the audience knows.
Okay, so a friend of mine got together. Well, we got together about 2 years ago, and we just decided, hey, we love affirmation cards. We love everything they stand for. Affirmations are awesome, but every time we would pull the card, it would feel like, this isn't how I talk to my friends. Like, when I call my friends, don't get me wrong, I meditate, I do say namaste. Mm-hmm. However, when I call Adrian and I'm like, I'm going through it, I'm in the floor, Adrian's not going to say, namaste, friend. What's going on? She's going to be like, girl, what's happening? Like, tell me everything about it. Let's get started. So we wanted cards that would speak as if we were speaking to our girlfriends. And that, you know,
magic happened.
Magic happened. The rest is history. And now there's Girlfriend in a Box.
Nice. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And just to, it was funny. I had pulled a card earlier this week or over the weekend. And it was funny because it was pertinent to our topic today. Mm. And so it was on the pink side, and I'll just show you guys. This is what it looks like. But I just really wanted to tell you that the universe works in funny ways. Mm-hmm. Actually,
always.
Magical ways.
Very magical.
Right?
Absolutely.
So this one, it was saying, be willing to be wrong and give yourself some grace when you are.
Mm. Amen to that.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have tend to browbeat ourselves.
Right.
I made a mistake, and then you harp on that mistake. You look up, it's 2 weeks. You've been beating the crap out of yourself for 2 weeks for one little mistake, and it's just a moment, a blip. In your whole journey.
And life moves
on. Don't get stuck there. And life moves on.
Mm-hmm.
So
quickly.
Yes. So that's just a little taste.
Just a little taste.
Yeah. And me and my coworkers sat around for like 45 minutes and just laughed and went through every single card.
Yay.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
It was our goal to go through every single one.
That just warms my heart so much.
It's, and they're Asian. From one is from Taiwan, the other one's from China. They're not even from this country.
Oh wow.
And they were able to connect and understand and adapt. And like, oh my God, would someone really say this? And I'm like, yeah, someone will really say that. If they're your friend, they will.
Absolutely, they will.
And it kind of made them aware that, you know, wait, maybe I need to connect with my friends and like be more honest. I wish that my friends would say this to me, or maybe I should say this to a friend. So it was really, really good.
Awesome.
So thank you for that.
I'm so glad you liked it.
It was amazing.
Such good feedback. Thank you.
I love it. So you're just starting conversations all over the world.
All over the world.
Global. This is global.
Hey, we had a vision and we're hoping that it does do that. Like, it takes itself all over the world because it's girlfriends are needed.
They sure are.
They are. There's a sisterhood that is unlike any other. So
it's so valuable. I just read something earlier this week. Issa Rae posted, and she just said, I feel so sorry for women that don't have girlfriends, because it's needed. That sisterhood, that camaraderie, that support system is needed.
Yeah.
We need that.
That's
going to heal the world. That's going to be the change that is going to change the world.
For
but I'm not going
sure.
to get on a tangent. Yes.
We can.
Firm believer.
I'm with it.
Firm.
I'm with it. We can.
Right. Right. Well, there's so much that we get that we're better for when we have our
absolutely.
Girlfriends.
Yeah.
But men are great too, so don't get it twisted.
Yes.
Right. We want
y'all.
That was not shade.
That was not at all.
Really need
not
you
at
guys.
All. Not
need
at all.
Need our men. Need them.
Well, before we get into our topic today, I wanted to talk about something that was took over, I guess, this weekend, social media. Mm-hmm. And that has been blowing up social media for the past few days, and it's the Me Too trending topic. Mm. So that it aims to bring awareness to the range of sexual harassment and abuse worldwide. And popping up on Twitter last Sunday was from the actress Alyssa Milano. So she wrote, for those of you that are not aware, she wrote, if all women who have been sexually harassed or assaulted wrote Me Too as a status, we might give people a sense of the magnitude of the problem. And this is in response to the film producer Harvey Weinstein being accused of sexually harassing and assaulting women over the span of decades. And so now, just to take a note, there was a Me Too campaign that was started about 10 years ago by a woman named Tarana Burke. And the purpose behind that campaign was to bring awareness to sexual assaulted survivors in underprivileged communities where there were limited resources for the victims. So the reason that I bring this up is that there's been some chatter. The woman who originally started the campaign is not receiving her credit due. And so we just want to make sure to say that there's a difference in the Me Too trending topic that we'll be discussing, but also acknowledging the Me Too campaign that was originated by the activist Tarana Burke, and to support the cause should you feel, you know, the need to do so, right? So with all that being said, bringing it back to this surge in social media for the past few days, I was surprised by what I saw in numbers, and not necessarily by the women, but more so the men that chose to post Me Too because they had been victimized on some level. And so kind of opening up today's conversation, let me ask you ladies, has it been you too?
Me too.
Me too.
Right. And not to talk about, you know, our specific stories, but what were you shocked by that as far as what you saw online?
No, it was my normal multi to me, you know, coming from New York, especially, it's our culture. Like, men
holler, cat call.
That's what they do. And so it's all I knew. So when I was seeing the post about Me Too, I was like, oh, I mean, it makes sense.
And
I've worked in companies that were all men or predominantly men, especially in tech, is mostly men. So I'm aware that it exists. So I wasn't surprised at all.
Yeah.
I was shocked. How conditioned we are to not even realizing that what is harassment and what's not. And just the day-to-day things that we came into contact with, you're not even thinking that that's what it is. You're just so conditioned to just automatically change your behavior or change the way you're behaving or your reaction to what's happening to you in that moment, because it's fight or flight at that moment. Do I want to stay and fight with this man and, you know, curse him out because he's harassing me, or do I just change my behavior? And a friend of ours posted about, you know, totally being in college and walking all the way around the college campus because she didn't want to walk past the construction site that was in between both classes. And it's like, you just automatically think to change your behavior, not to confront, you know, what we're seeing and what we're experiencing. So it was a little bit eye opening for me, just how much we had conditioned ourselves to be okay
to
with
go,
it,
yeah. right?
And to go along,
to
with
go around
it.
With, around it too,
yeah, and not just be like, you know what, yeah. what you're doing is wrong. Luckily for that friend, she did address it eventually. And I commend her for it. I think that's awesome. It took a lot of bravery, especially being at a young age. Mm. But again, there were so many other people that are just kind of like, they brushed it off like, oh, it's the norm. Mm-hmm. And it's not. Or if it is, it shouldn't
it be. It shouldn't be.
Yeah. Right.
But it
right.
does become your norm. In New York, too, I've definitely crossed streets to avoid that type of situation.
Yeah.
So it happens.
Well, it's interesting because we don't, and it's all part of the conversation as far as the culture that we live in.
Right.
Mm. So I think, you know, bringing awareness is putting a mirror to our culture, right? Mm-hmm. And why it's accepted and why we don't address those certain situations. Is it because, you know, people aren't going to believe us or it's going to get worse in some situations? You know, a woman addresses it and this, then it becomes more attention.
Yes.
And it becomes worse. And it's maybe a challenge. I mean,
you become labeled.
Right. There's that. Yeah.
You're the troublemaker. You're the big mouth. You're mm-hmm. the angry
right.
person. Mm-hmm. Or you're the damsel in distress. And you're basically disrupting the norm.
Right.
And people do not like change.
Nope.
This is how it's always been. This is how it should stay. Like, why are you in here making trouble changing how things are? So it could be any reason why we stay silent. Doesn't make it right.
Right. Right. So it's something that, I was kind of, and I also looked at my own self and was just like, oh, how many times do I just like sweep it under the rug, sweep it under the rug, sweep it yes. under the rug, and realizing the change in my own personality or where things that I will do or won't do just because I just don't want to deal. So there was a lot of awareness to it. I also was just really commended the men that were posting me too. Yeah. That was, so if you look at it, I say in this room, 100% has been, you know, has experienced some level,
yes.
right,
mm-hmm.
of harassment or assault or whatnot. And so I don't think even the stats that even I had posted, like 1 in 4, I really would be, it would be hard pressed for me to believe that a grown adult woman has not been harassed on some level. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if we can just look at it as a big picture, mm-hmm. then maybe there can be a shift.
Yeah. Right? I actually was surprised too by the men that some men that took accountability and said, you know what, I've done that, or I've made women feel uncomfortable, or I didn't necessarily act appropriately in this situation, and that could have been misconstrued or even been harassment, and they took accountability for it and said, hey, I'm sorry, and I'll do better, or I'll stay more conscious of it in the next situation before I get ready to act or catcall or touch someone inappropriately. Mm-hmm. I'll think about that beforehand. And that's really what the whole discussion was about.
Bring
more awareness
it, yep.
so that way mm-hmm. it stays in your consciousness.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you make the change. Like, one split second decision is like, hey, I could have grabbed her ass, or I'm actually going to say, hey, how you doing? If she mm-hmm. says no, I'm just going to walk away
right.
as opposed to continuously standing there and going. It's now in the forefront of their mind mm-hmm. to say, let me try something different.
Right. And the funny thing is, so I was thinking about this too, the media, we have them, I think we shortchange men. You know, we say, oh, these are the things that you guys have in common. Making money, sex, and sports. Go. So pretty much, you know what I'm saying? Like, and a lot of it is
guilty.
Right. Go be friends. And they right. want to talk about, you know, their conquests or whatever. And so I think that doesn't help, you know, the situation, the culture at hand. But your point was perfect. I think that, you know, you may need to come hang out with us a little bit more because it segues right into
right
accountability and owning your shit.
Right.
So I really liked that.
Hey.
Yeah.
I do
yeah,
what
girl.
I can do.
We appreciate you, girl.
Right.
Okay. So getting into owning your shit and kind of where this conversation is going. I'm going to start off with, when did you become aware, and this is to both of you.
Okay.
When did you become aware that you were the common denominator in your circumstances?
Girl.
Oof. Gosh.
Well.
Just going to ask this straight up, like fractions and all? Yeah. Mathematics right. is what we're doing?
So you really want me to own my shit right now on camera?
Right. I mean, right now on camera.
I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm here for it. This is why we're here.
This
you
true.
You want to answer?
Girl, you got it.
You know what? It was still staying conscious and starting to see the same situations repeat themselves, Oof. Although the characters had changed. For example, I find myself in a bad relationship, or not even bad, just maybe not the most healthy relationship. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to get the courage in that. Then you go to the next relationship, and the same situation is happening. And you go to the mm-hmm. next relationship, and the same situation is happening. And then you have to say, wait a minute. The characters are changing and the situation's the same. What is consistent in this experiment, even though it's your life? And at that point, you have to look up and be like, well, what about me? Is either attracting these people or seeking these people out? Because sometimes we're so addicted to our story and that pain body that you're like, I got to keep repeating history. But the moment that I looked up and I was like, you are the one consistent thing in all of these situations, whether it be a friendship, whether it be, you know, bad jobs, whatever
it is,
you are the consistent connection between them all.
Yeah.
And that was tough because you have to stop and be like, okay, well, shit.
Yes.
We've identified
shit, what's my shit?
The problem. So, or not even, like I said, not even the problem, because you don't want to make, it's not even a right or wrong thing. It's just this experience is not honoring me. So at this point, how do I change it? So that, you know, can go on a whole nother bunny trail with that. But that was it. It was like I woke up and found myself in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
Bad jobs, or, you know, not the most pleasant situation at work. Friendships that started to have the same theme in them, either it was gossipy or again, just didn't honor
who you
the
are.
Vision that I had for my life and what I wanted to put out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that common denominator.
Mm.
And that's when I was like, hey, some of this shit is you.
Yeah.
Like, you need to turn the mirror on yourself, and maybe you don't go into that because it's attracting something to you.
Right.
Again, it's not necessarily that the people are bad or the players are bad or the situation is bad. Sometimes it's just unhealthy connections, and you have to decide, do I need to be connected to that? But staying conscious of it.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Oof. Kelly, guess what?
Same thing.
That was the same exact thing.
I'm like, same thing.
But I would say that I also came into awareness, not just of the cycle, because I call it the cycle.
It is a cycle.
Understanding what the cycle is and noticing the cycle of life, of situations that keep happening in different scenarios, but just keep happening. And then for me, I had to get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Girl.
That's right.
Better tell it.
Like, noticing that was one step, but really getting to this, because I feel like we notice our cycles, but we just continue it because in a sick, psychotic way, we are comfortable
in our discomfort.
In our discomfort. We're comfortable in our bad cycles because we know it.
Yeah.
So we continue it.
I know how to do this.
I know how to do this. I've done this. I already know how to react. I already know what to say, how to get out of it, how to recuperate. So I'm going to keep doing this. And so it took me to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Like,
yes.
Okay, now, Melissa, do all these people have the master and the key to your life, or do you?
That's right.
Is your experiencing your experiences happening with them, through them, by them, or does this have to do with you?
Right.
And if you're unhappy, do something different.
And it takes a big person to say, what part of this am I creating?
Right.
Because sometimes, like you said,
everybody points fingers.
Everybody wants
them,
to do this.
Them.
It's so easy to be like, what's
his
fault?
The they.
He said, or it's her fault because she did.
Mm-hmm.
True indeed, to some degree, because there are some people that just, you know, deliberately go out to be assholes. That's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're that common denominator,
then
you do need to stop and take pause for a second and say, what part am I playing? And am I playing this role because I'm addicted to the story? Because like you said, it's almost like that person's like, I'm broke, I'm this, I don't have no money. Okay, you know how to be broke. You'll consistently show up in that capacity.
Right.
Because like you said, I know how to do that already. So it takes courage to do something different.
Well, it's also, it's interesting when people are, they play the blame game, because that means that they can be the victim.
Right.
And when you say addicted to your story, it's also, you can be addicted to being the victim.
Yeah.
Because people will definitely treat you differently, and you get a certain type of attention.
Yes.
When you are a victim, when you are the sick one, when you are the underdog. So people can easily say, well, I mean, I can ride this out because look at all the attention.
Yeah.
Because let's be clear, when you're doing good, nobody's really checking on you.
Not really.
They don't check on you. And unless you are planning a celebratory party for yourself, people aren't really, but
creating it for you.
Yeah. But if you feel validated when people are you know, concerned and they're worried and they're thinking about you and you need all that, well, then you're going to swing in this victim like cycle because for whatever reason, it's serving a purpose for you, even if it's not healthy.
It's right. Keeping you innocent.
Not innocent, far from it.
No, but in a way, right? And the reason why I'm saying this personally, right? I'm actually in a cycle right now with someone where I am being the victim. I'm choosing
it
to be the victim because it's easier for me to be innocent than be guilty.
Yeah. Because if you're innocent, then you're still the victim.
And here's the thing. Exactly. If you're taking accountability, though, you're also taking responsibility for your actions and for choosing wrong set person.
Yeah.
And of choosing the same situations that you are comfortable with. Yeah. But also, if you take accountability, you're also saying, hey, I did something wrong. You're also being vulnerable. People don't want to do that.
That's hard.
It's a lot. I mean, own your shit is hard.
It's hard.
Why do you think so many people don't own their shit?
Because it's easier.
It's smelly.
It's so much easier. It's so much easier to blame somebody else. It's so much easier to play the victim. I mean, it's easy. But man, is it toxic.
As hell.
And it's interesting, you know, we can get to a place, and I feel like I'm kind of there now as far as you can smell people who just need to live in that space.
Yeah.
I can smell you before I see you.
Yeah.
I just need you to say like a couple words. I'm like, oh,
there's
I'm
some
to
key
you.
Phrases that you're
really
waiting
so
for,
much. I
as
am.
Soon as you
like,
hear them, you're like, bing, bing, bing. Let me stop wasting my energy trying
all day
to help this person because clearly they don't want the help. Nah. Like people will look and say, even I'll use this for an example. They'll come to us and be like, oh my God, you and Adrian are, you know, growing by leaps and bounds, and we've seen all these things that you've done in 2017. We did the work.
Yeah.
We could have crawled in the bed and pulled the covers over our head. Absolutely.
For sure.
We decided we were sick and tired of being
sick and tired. Mm-hmm.
So at that moment, when you get tired of it, you will lay that story down.
Right.
Until then, I can't assist you because you're addicted to your story because it gets you the attention that you're wanting or needing or
whatever
your
it is.
Reason is for that. But like you said, I can smell them. You got two good tries. Because you can feel it. You can some people you can feel it come in. Some people sneak past you and they'll say certain things and you'll just know.
Yeah.
You'll just know. Like this is not a good use of my time.
So I guess I got a question for the both of you. And that the person that's in that space who's addicted to the story, right? In their mind, the story makes sense. They created the story, it makes sense to them. It's part of their reality. What advice would you give someone in that position? As far as releasing and letting go of that,
there is no releasing. You're gonna have to hold it until you're ready to not hold it anymore.
Getting sick and tired, being sick and tired.
You're gonna have to, and you have to also allow them the space to sit in it. Like just have to own that. That's where you are.
That's where you are,
and that's it. And because there's, can you really think about the one moment where you were like, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired? No, something just clicks.
Yeah, it clicks. Yeah.
Because you sat in it long enough. You were still enough long enough to be like, you know what? This is gross. And I'm over it. And
so
nobody had to come in and be
space.
Like, Melissa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, you just were like, I am over it. My advice would be to be in that space. Fully present in that space. Sit in it. Sit in it. Don't call me when you're feeling sad. Sit in it. Because you'll get tired of sitting in it quick.
There's going to be a way. Yeah. There's going to be a time where you seek out a different way of dealing.
Yeah.
And I think back to my own self and like, I guess my story of my relationship with my father. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then not talking about it and then talking about it and then just being sick of it. Like,
daddy issues.
Right. I'm like, I'm actually, that's so old and I'm so great. Even though I don't even know what my greatness is right now. Cause I was still in limbo. All I knew was I was so tired of having this conversation. I was so tired of talking about it. But I did not, but it was part of my identity. Like, who's gonna know me if they don't know like my background or my childhood story?
And this
or
is why I do what I do.
And then they need to understand my decisions and who I choose.
That understanding piece though
first
is the
foremost,
thing.
Let me tell you something.
Is the thing though. We always want to be understood.
And I'm actually at a point right now where I'm like, you don't have to understand how I shake or move ever. The only people that do are my tight people.
Yes.
And that's if I decide to talk about something. That's if I'm in a space to share something in my past. But quite honestly, you're going to be drawn to me because I got amazing energy. I know that. But you don't need to know why I do what I do.
Just know that I have it.
Just know that I'm good, you're good, and we click for some reason. That's it.
Yeah.
But explaining everything.
Yeah. No more.
Nada más. I'm out. More. Like, This is, I'm in transition.
I'm tired of hearing myself talk about
to say
it.
The same Shit. Thing over and over again.
Okay, so wait a minute. And I forgot this one part of the story. And then there was, you know what, girl? I'm tired of hearing myself talk about this shit.
Like, right. I'm in it, though. You know when you're just in it, though? You're like in it. You're swimming in it. And you're just like, how the hell do I get out of this reoccurring thing? And it's like you get out of it a little bit. And then something triggers. And you go right back there. Because that's my problem. I could be out of it. And I'm like cruising. I'm like, I'm out of it. And then something happens.
Snap you back.
And it will go, literally is like, whoop, surfboard or under. Like, I'm under the current. And I'm like, wait, how did I get here? How do I get back out? Like, wait a second.
I'm so glad you use that as your example.
Yeah.
Because as you're under the current, you're in the minutia, right? You're totally in the chaos. But what do you do when you're drowning in the ocean? What do they tell you to do? Do the dead man's flow. Be still. Be in it.
Ooh.
Float to the top and lay up in that ship.
Give it
a minute.
Ooh.
And just stay there. Stop fighting the current. Because you can't beat the current. You're in it. Be in it.
That just lit up every nerve in my body.
But that's because that's all you can do. You're only in control of your person. You're not in control of the current.
And guess what? You know what? The first thing I do when I get in the pool, I float.
That's what you're supposed to do. Like, just float. Just be present. I'm in the water. I'm chilling. You know what? I can't do anything about the chlorine level. I can't do anything about these floaties.
Kelly, I'm going to owe you some money. This is the second gem you give me today.
I did get you. This was my second.
Oh, my God. I'm going to owe you some money after this. Okay, I got you. I got you. I got you. I'm setting it.
You know the way that my heart is drink, so.
I got you.
Okay. We're going to make this happen. Seriously, like, that's all you can do. And the moment you stop fighting it, is when you start to lay still. Because what they always say, if you're in the middle of something, you can't make a decision. Just be in the center of the storm. Be in the center of the current. Just chill out for a second. And then the next step will be revealed. Because normally when we're fighting it and we're in the minutia of the story, we're trying to figure out, how do we get out? And we're looking bigger picture. Be still so you can see the next step. That's it.
I kind of stop.
The next step will reveal the next step. But if you're trying to figure out the whole damn thing right now, you're going to overwhelm yourself. Yeah. And then guess what? Now you're drowning.
I tried it last night and it didn't work. The whole breathing and stopping thing. Mm-hmm. But it's just because I didn't know what else to do. It was just
That's right.
But you did. The funny thing is that you did. You paused.
I'm proud of myself.
And you were conscious of saying, I need to pause.
I need to stop this because it's about to go bad.
Now. Now, back in the day, before you were aware, what would have happened? It was almost go sail, girl.
I was doing the doggy paddle from the bottom. Like,
child, I tore this whole thing up. What? Next thing you know, everything is destroyed. And you're like, what happened? No, you know what happened? I tore everything up. We don't need to do that anymore. We know what that looks like.
Oof, speak it. Another therapy session for Melissa. Hey, sorry, guys. Hey, it happens, you know?
I only speak it because I've been in it. I say this with so much love. I've been in that minutia so many times. And again, it's not to be stuck on the story. I have to tell you every minutia I've been in, every story, every chaotic situation.
Yeah.
But I've been there, and the only thing that brought me out was to be still. Chill out.
Yeah.
The next step will reveal itself, I promise.
It sure will. There was one, an article that kind of takes me to the next question is about when taking on accountability, that you are opening up, you know, to being vulnerable, but also there is accountability on the mistakes that you've made. So you need that. There's a section of self-forgiveness that you need to kind of work with. Not that you're there yet or anybody is in this world, but something that I did want to talk about. And kind of open up the floor if there's a time where you were coming into your own accountability and saying, okay, I need to forgive myself for maybe some of the decisions that I've made. Have you guys...
time you got, girl?
Well, Kelly's like, I got 10 fingers. No, 8 fingers and 2 thumbs.
Carry the one. Girl.
Oh, many times. You want to take this, Kelly?
Where she's like, you want more
you
time?
You want me to go?
Well, I can tell you one time that just instantly popped in my head. And I'm not sure if I'm totally answering the question correctly. But
it's meant.
I was having an argument with somebody I love very much. But I had to make a decision to move back across the country to save myself. And in having the conversation with that person, they were like, you abandoned me. And it hurt really bad. And I finally had to say, you know what? You're right. I did abandon you. I did. And it hurt to say that because my intention was not to abandon that person. My intention was to save myself.
Right.
So in that moment, I had to apologize because I'm sorry that you feel abandoned. I'm not sorry for what I did. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that you feel abandoned. I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings. Mm. But I'm not sorry that I moved across the country, because self-preservation is key. I can't be there for you if I'm not even there for myself.
That's right.
And in order to build myself back up, I needed to remove myself from the situation. But I did take ownership of the fact that my actions caused someone else discomfort. Mm-hmm. And that shit was hard.
Yeah.
Because I was like, damn, I actually have to say the words, I abandoned you. I was like,
because it was, that was against your intention.
It was against my intention, and it almost felt like it was negating the true intention of what I was doing.
Right. Because like, you're admitting admitting what happened to them, their reality versus your reality.
Right. And it was, the truth of the matter is, that is that what happened. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't my intention. But that doesn't negate the fact that that's what happened.
Exactly. The facts of the facts.
And the fact of how you feel, because your feelings are valid. So are mine.
Right.
You know what I mean? So are mine. So I did it for me, and I'm sorry that the after effects were that you felt abandoned.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's hard to say those words.
Right.
Still right now. It's challenging, but it needed to be said.
Yeah.
And I think that person needed to hear it too, because it was like, oh, you know what? She acknowledged it.
Right.
And she basically validated how I felt.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then we haven't talked about it since.
Kelly, guess what?
What, girl? Another?
This is another thing.
We're here for it.
I'm like, what the hell is she here for? Like, does she read? What does she know?
About your life.
Right.
I don't know anything about your life. I just did my second time meeting you.
I know. I'm like, are they telling her things?
But I love you.
Who is telling her things?
Nothing. I'm not telling you anything.
Same thing happened to me. I think my move to California, across the country, I abandoned a lot of people. And one of the people I abandoned was my brother. And he ended up passing away a year later. And when I left, I knew that he felt, although he was supportive, I knew he felt some type of way.
Right.
And I literally had to sit with this for many years to sit. Because at least with your person, you got to speak to them and you got to say.
There's some I didn't know. This is just one person.
Yeah, yeah, but the one person. But my person, I didn't get to say that because he left me, and left the earth before I was able to express, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I abandoned you and I'm sorry, but I had to do this. And I used to tell him, like, while I was talking to him, I'm like, you know, I'm doing this for, like, a betterment of you. Like, you don't know now why I'm doing this, but you will know. Like, just give me some time. I will show you.
Right.
It would all come to light why I'm doing this. It's bigger than me.
Yeah.
And he was, like, supportive. He was like, yeah, I get it. And then literally after he passed away, it took me a lot of years to come to peace with the fact that I did abandon him, not just him, but my family, and I needed to do it for me. And I've come to some type of peace to, like, accept, like, okay, you know what? Me doing this for me is something that was worth for me, and they're gonna be okay regardless. And that this had to happen the way it needed to happen. And I can't control how it happened and why it happened.
And that's it.
I just had to trust that it did and it had to. And I'm going to leave the rest up to whatever, the universe or whoever, to take over. And I know that my brother knows my heart. Mm-hmm. And I know he's forgiven me. So I'm just, like, okay with it. But I knew I had to forgive myself. I knew he forgave me way before I forgave myself.
Yeah.
And so that was definitely super hard, because abandonment, you choosing yourself versus somebody else that you really care about, and then they lose their life and you think now you're blaming yourself for all of it. It's a lot to carry.
It is.
It's a heavy burden. So
part of owning your shit, I think, is the forgiveness piece as well, because we instantly think something bad happened, I hurt someone, that's owning my shit. No, you can own the good stuff too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can forgive yourself too. You can. You just can.
Right.
So that's good that you
made
it through.
That's a good one. Yeah, me too. As you were saying it, and I was actually going back and forth in my head, like, should I say it? Should I not? And as you were saying, I was like, gosh, now I gotta say it.
I'm like, of course you should say it.
I'm like, I wanted to get out of this one, but apparently they were like, nope, we're not doing it. You're gonna have to face it.
Nah, girl.
So here it is.
Out
to the universe and release, because I know it was important and I know I needed that. And that literally lifted this weight off my shoulders. And now I feel like I can do exactly what I was brought here to do.
Own that part too.
Yeah.
Don't just own the bad, own the good part. I just let a whole weight off of my shoulders.
Yes.
flag, because how many people can say go that and pass away without celebrating the good stuff? So yay to you. That's super proud.
That's another,
that's a whole nother conversation. Right.
But it's a good, but it's needed. It's needed.
Absolutely.
It's also needed to, your segues are freaking amazing.
Oh, segue.
Just, oh my God. What
she's doing too. Really good thing. Segue right quick.
She's just doing the thing.
I'm like, okay. I'm just, I mean, you know.
She's doing her thing.
Hey, it's the cosmos. It's the magic.
It is.
The fact that you even pulled that card and you're like, this is what we're going to talk about today.
It was so great.
It's this is how it works. This I'm a firm believer in that.
This is. But it's funny because in part of owning your shit, that I think especially, I don't want to, I'm going to say it anyway. So,
spit it out, girl.
Especially with women, though, we don't celebrate ourselves.
We don't.
So, we're very hard on ourselves.
Yeah. It's. I feel like it's really important that we acknowledge when we've accomplished something.
Yes.
That, and that we make a big deal about it. Mm. Even if we think like, oh, just... it's not really a big deal. No, make a big deal about it. Tell all your girlfriends, plan a little party, have somebody plan a party. We'll be doing that this weekend for you.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. But you know, it's because it's really important. Yeah. These are, life isn't just to be like, okay, let's do all the work and then work some more and no have these moments.
Right.
No, no, no. Design moments to celebrate. You've got to celebrate yourself and not just like, oh, I'm going to have a Klondike bar. That. Like, don't do it.
They don't even have
don't do
coffee
it.
In them no more. Klondikes are not going to cut it anymore.
But it's super important. And I know it's something that I definitely don't do. And then I'm working that in is celebrating myself. Like I'm it's easy for me to show up for everybody else. Oh my God, girl, you accomplished. Let's go do something. We're going to throw a party. You, like, oh my God, you got a new job. Whatever. Let's go celebrate. Right. All these things. But I never really do it for myself. Like, and not that I'm waiting for anybody to do it. I just felt like that wasn't really a big to do. But now that whole like is that's changing.
Yeah.
Because I think it adds to the quality of our lives. So as part of, you know, owning, like you said, if you're going to own the bad, you might as well own the good and celebrate the good. Like make a big to do. Because the bad is that you got to make a big to do about that too.
Because the bad, you're going to drag yourself and browbeat yourself. So you might as well go hard or not go hard on both sides. But it goes back to the episode that you guys did about self-care. And if you haven't seen it, you need to go back and listen to it. On the self-care episode, you mentioned it was about, oh my goodness. It wasn't just about, you mentioned own your shit, but it was also like in the definition that you read from Webster's, it was like narcissism.
Oh yeah, negative. Yeah.
Negative. And dude, self-care is not negative. And I think that's kind of why we moved away from the word self-help, because that sounds like damsel in distress and victim and bad. Mm-hmm. I think that going back to the self-care, like the self-care, we talk about this all the time in our sister circles. What gets celebrated gets repeated. Mm-hmm. So you have got to come back and say, hey, I did that. Like, I really did. You know what? I really wanted to work out every single day and I lost 10 pounds. You need to celebrate that. Right. Don't celebrate with the Klondike bar for the love of everything. But celebrate it however you feel is best. Right. Or celebrate it with the Klondike if that's what you feel like you need. But we need to continue to do that too, because we're being inundated with so much negativity from outside sources that you've got to be that for yourself.
That's right.
Sometimes, and then again, this is why sisterhood's so important.
Yeah.
We can get together and celebrate each other. Sisterhood, brotherhood, anything that, you know, just surrounding yourself with a good circle, I think. So it's not just sisterhood, but that celebration is needed.
It is.
Definitely need.
I'm all about celebrations. I celebrate my birthday all month long.
And
I always have a party.
And don't wait for your birthday.
And I love, I shouldn't wait. I should do, I mean, I give myself stuff all the time. Like I go get, I'm like, oh, I deserve a massage today. Adrian knows. I'm always like, you know what? Today I deserve this chicken. Like I'm always celebrating something.
I do it all
and time. I'm giving myself all types of gifts. So I don't think I'm like that in that part. Maybe I need to just calm
down.
And
the gift doesn't even necessarily have to be the chicken or the purse. The gift can be, you know what? This Sunday afternoon. I'm unplugging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done that.
I'm going to be still.
I've done that.
I'm going to read something I've been wanting to read for a long time.
I'm going to go to the beach and just take a nap.
I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going to spend time with my mom. Whatever it is.
That feeds you.
That feeds your soul can also be a gift to you. It doesn't necessarily have to be something tangible.
Yes. But all of
sorry,
it.
I'm sorry. I'm not talking too low.
No, not at all.
I'm like, yes. Did I miss a segue?
No, nothing. You were just enamored with your words.
That's just so like, soaking I just feel like in. You should. Yeah, you should definitely do that. I thought that was a great thing that you guys said during the self-care episode.
Yeah.
Because it is so often looked at as a negative thing. Mm-hmm. Celebrating forgiveness, all of those things are necessary mm-hmm. because, again, there's so much negativity.
Right.
There's so mm-hmm. much negativity. Turn on your TV. It doesn't matter if you're watching a sitcom or the news. It's always still going to have some sort of negative undertone somewhere in a commercial. Like,
yeah.
anything. It's like, come on, mm-hmm. dude. So, okay, I had to figure out how I'm going to stay positive.
How am I going to stay positive today?
It's too much. It's
yeah.
too much.
Well, it's funny, too, because I now think back to, you know, when I was walking into offices and I was, you know, working sales, and I had certain offices that always would run, you know, CNN or the news just constantly. And so you're walking in and you're hearing all of these stories on a repeat or the conversations. Yeah. And I couldn't imagine being like the receptionist in that
Girl.
Office. And then you're just listening to it. It's like right in front of your face mm-hmm. the entire day. I don't know how you aren't pissed off like the entire day.
She is, girl. I was like, she put you on hold before you even say anything. Would you call for click? Like, she's been watching CNN.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, no. That's thank goodness that we have the choice. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, very much so.
One of the things that we say a lot is don't watch the news or be mindful of what you allow into your mind and space. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no.
And it's so
that's
serious.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing too with the social media, because even if I sound whatever.
Spit it out.
That's where I get a lot of my news.
Yeah.
Me too.
Is on social media, and then I'll Google it more.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll go and do my own research as opposed to just being fed what Fox News is telling
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
Right.
Hard pass.
And I'm still being fed information. It's definitely a distraction if I am, you know, focused on a task and then decide to take a break. Now I'm squirrel.
Right.
You know,
I'm not red bouncing ball.
Right. Right. But it's something that, you know, I don't know. I think it's easier, better that way to intake information versus having it spun to you every single second.
You have to be careful what you put in your psyche.
Girl.
What did we use? Okay. Think about something like, I know we're getting a little bit off. We're going to run down.
No. It's okay. This is what we do.
Remember when you used to get in trouble? Because we're going back way, way, way before, you know, we had cell phones and all that. Remember when you used to get in trouble? You used to have the right standards.
No. What do you mean standards?
Standards. I will not talk in class.
I will
not disrupt the class. And you had to write that shit like
over and over again.
Times.
Yeah.
You know why?
To put it in your psyche.
So when people say music doesn't matter, well, shows we're watching is just entertainment.
Lies
you tell. Watch what you put into your psyche. You work in the office, not you. I'm just saying.
Yeah, overall.
In general. The receptionist that's watching CNN constantly. You're working in the office and it's like, there's this same loop of playlist that's playing, and it's like three songs
music.
That I freaking hate.
Yes.
And then you find yourself in Target singing the damn song. Yes. It's a reason, because it's programming you. It's called programming for a reason.
Yeah.
So just you get to decide what programs your brain, what goes into your psyche. Mm. So be careful about it. Again, that's kind of how the card started too. It was like, what are we doing to program ourselves mm-hmm. every day? Because we don't have a teacher every day anymore, unless you're just, you know, mm-hmm. the lifetime student, which is dope too. But you need to watch it. Like, you got to watch it. Watch the news, but maybe watch just for an hour. Get what you need and go.
Get the
don't
top stories.
Don't let CNN
and
loop constantly. Yeah. And that's all you're going to focus on.
Yeah.
The only thing that you're going to see.
Don't like it.
I hate it.
That's why I like to start my day with my gratitude journaling, because that way, listen, I'm taking a moment to just be grateful for life and where I'm at right now, and then I'm seeking it out throughout the day. That's what I'm looking for.
Yep.
It's already started in my brain, therefore I'm scouting you out. What's the next thing I'm grateful for? What's the next thing I'm gonna write down? Then I'll be like,
the list to be huge.
I just got a parking spot. Thank you, universe. Right up front. Hey. I mean, it's just the little things
exciting.
And then the big things too. So. I mean, I'm a big believer of that. I'll preach it till the day I die. But also, with that being said, with you saying be mindful of like what comes into your psyche, it's almost setting boundaries.
Yes.
It is.
So even part of owning your shit
is setting boundaries
and saying, you know, if I continue to be in these certain type of relationships, right, I'm no longer going to be that. I'm no longer going to be in those types of relationships. I'm no longer going to deal with this type of person. So, because the universe works in its mysterious ways, that person is still going to come, because you're still in the midst of figuring it out, right? Well, you got to start setting boundaries.
Yes.
You got to say, nope. You know what triggers you. Like, I'm going to act differently. I'm going to set some boundaries with myself and with said person if necessary. Mm. But first, you got to come up with them in your own mind. And I think that's one thing that we is part of the process of owning your shit.
True.
Accountability, self-forgiveness, celebrate. But set your damn boundaries, too. And figure out, like, that's some self-reflection.
Big.
You need to sit down in front of the mirror and be like, okay. Actually. Now, yeah, like, what do you need?
Right.
And
what is good for you? What's not good for you?
Right.
What is feeding you? What is not? What are you going to put up with and what are you not going to put up with?
Right. 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 Because it's, I mean, relationships are fun. But you
they
know,
can be fun.
They can be fun.
So right,
they can be fun. They're.
I love relationships.
Dealing with humans is like harsh.
Well, because you're only in control over yourself, and most of the times we want to control
everybody.
Everything.
Yeah, they want the storyline.
You can't. The owning your part of owning your shit is saying I am only in control of this person.
That's right.
Right here. Yeah. This is it. So at that point, yeah, like you said, either set a boundary. But hell, you can ask people. Most people don't even know what they like, what their deal breakers are. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be happy. What makes you happy? define that for yourself. Right. That's part of owning your shit. You know, I really don't like pecan pie. Please don't serve that at such and such. Mm. Something that small, you think it's something silly, but it's not. I'm setting a boundary so that you know next time I have a party, don't bring that shit to my house. I don't need it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Another same thing with drama. You know I don't get down like that. Please don't turn on Love and Hip Hop in my house. Everybody Please that knows don't. Me knows I don't watch those types of shows. No shade, get y'all paper. I just choose not to put that into my psyche.
Right.
So like you said, setting boundaries, I think that's a huge thing of self-care and also for owning your shit. Mm. You got to own it because you have to be able to stand in it.
Right.
And say, I don't like that, but I love this.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not always about what you don't like. It's also, hey, I love this too. But I open that up and bring that in.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I like
it goes
that.
Both ways.
I like that.
Me too.
Yes.
Me too. That's like a theme forever.
Right. Well, and it's a struggle sometimes as a people pleaser. Right. Yeah. I think we all have had that moment of being like, oh, people pleaser want to be.
And as women, I think we're just nurturing and givers.
What was that?
Yeah.
That was a huge thing. People pleasing.
Yeah.
And being willing to say new.
And be the person that's not liked all the time and doesn't have to always have it together and have a smile and bring the people together. Like, no, actually, that's not me today.
No. The funny thing is, I can't
get it.
I was always so worried that people weren't gonna like me, you know. I think growing up,
me too.
And even probably within the past year, and somebody I was having a discussion with somebody that I really love, and they were saying, they were giving me kind of a perspective, but they kept repeating that perspective, and I was like, that doesn't work for me, that works for you, so stop saying it as if it's for me. Now mind you, that was tough because for me and in my universe, there's a possibility I could lose that person by setting my boundary.
Yes.
I love this person. Like, I love this person, right? And you know what? Nothing changed. Actually, we got closer. After I set my boundary and just said, I'm just not with this. Like, just don't talk to, just don't tell me that anymore. She's like, you know what?
I respect you.
I respect you for it. And like, we're just going to agree to disagree, but I love you no less. And that I needed to hear that because I thought all these crazy ideas, once again, I think in our minds.
The people pleasing bones.
Yeah.
And we create our own stories as well. Like
we do.
Are based on our own fears.
Yeah.
And we definitely do.
Right. Right. But I don't think, so I say boundaries is like, I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, boundaries are awesome.
At all. And even if you have 10,000 around you, I mean, okay.
Like, that's what you need right now. You're not going to always have 10,000 boundaries.
Yeah.
Or you will, and that's how you operate and own that shit too.
And maybe people show you what kind of boundaries you need to give, right? Because everybody's different.
Agreed.
And people, I think people show you how you should treat them. And so some people may require more boundaries than somebody else. Like, it all depends on the situation, the environment, what's happening. You know what I mean? So I think that's definitely huge and a big part of it.
Agreed.
Well, I feel like we got it all figured out.
Yeah, right.
That people-pleasing thing is big, though. That people-pleasing thing is...
No,
that was challenging.
It's toxic. It's actually quite toxic, and I think that in reflection, that's what I've seen in myself. Mm. And accepting... Because if you don't know... Like they say, what do you say? If you don't know... If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yep.
So, and sometimes in being so... accepting of others and then kind of willing to go with the flow, you do fall for anything, and then before you know it, you're dwindling in the wind or following this
down a bunny hole that you're like, what?
Right. whether it's a relationship here. Or a friend or a job, or you're just like, oh, that sounds good. Okay. Because you don't have any idea of what it is that you want.
You don't even know what you like. Like I said, I go back to that original statement when you say, I want to be happy. Okay, well, what makes you happy? They don't even know because they've been people pleasing so much. I'm taking on what Adrian likes,
right?
What Melissa likes,
and right?
What do you like? What do you want to do?
Yeah. We go for by learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Very true.
Not by what we feel and what we think and what's really true to us. We just go with what's taught or what we see or what's in our environment or what we're exposing ourselves to.
Right. Because at some point, somebody's made that valid.
Mm-hmm.
And by you saying, I don't know what I want, or actually saying what you want, if someone invalidates that, it starts a ripple effect.
Boop.
And saying, hey, you know what? I like pink pillows. Oh, I hate pink pillows. Yeah, they're not so good. The people pleaser, mm-hmm. you just totally negated how you felt.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's basically saying your feelings aren't valid. Hey, even if I'm standing alone, guess what? I like pink pillows.
Yep.
Right.
That's what we're going with.
And how do you go about, I guess that segues to the next topic or this the next point, but how do you go about expressing to someone what you feel and creating basically your support system and saying, you know what, actually, part of my boundary today is that I need some space. I can't hang out with you today. I'm going to need my moment. And saying that without feeling guilty or saying it to people that you know you and understand your heart and are okay with giving you that space and time.
If they know you and they love you, then they know that.
They know that, right.
I think you should say, but I think it's
part
of,
but isn't like part of our creating this, right? Because in a way you have to start the cycle of expressing when you want your time without feeling guilty about it. Like, actually, I know it's girls' night, but you know what? Today I'm not in the mood. It's not about you. I just need some me time.
That's it.
It's easy. That's it. It's, and
that's
it's easy,
it.
And it's easy to say, I'm just not feeling good, ladies. Or I'm not. And it may just be, yeah, I can't make it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Or I'm just not feeling it. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'll catch up with you next time. I'll you know, rain check.
Because sometimes I don't have a reason. I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you.
But you know how people don't really like to say that.
No,
most people
don't.
Come up with lies or and to get themselves out of things. They don't really like to face up and just say, actually, you know what? I don't really want to do that.
No, but yeah, because they don't want to be the bad guy. They don't want to,
exactly.
you know, they don't want to let anybody down.
Back to the people pleasing.
But at the same time, and I'll tell you this though, I used to be that person that was like, did you just cancel on me on the last minute? Like, I would be heated and I would hold on to it. I'd be like, yeah, I remember that. I ain't invited her nowhere.
Nowhere.
And matter of fact, I'm going to have another party and not invite her. Everybody else is like, I was definitely that, like in my younger years, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's been, I mean, I welcome it. I always feel like that saying, you know, you celebrate the people that have come to the party. You don't worry about the people that didn't make it.
True.
And it really is true. But I also understand, like, if the girlfriends that let me know, they're like, hey, I'm not feeling up for whatever the plan was. Well, that's okay. Like, and whether it's a mental, emotional, cellular level, like, if you say you're not feeling okay, like,
you're
I get it. No worries.
And now we get it more because I think as you get older, you just become more aware that life is a lot.
It's a lot.
And people just need their time and it's okay. I think we hold people more accountable to things that we are offended by that we want so early on because we feel so like attached and like more ownership. I think when you become older, you start to realize like how important your time is and your environment is and when to say no, when to say yes, and you don't take things as personal.
That's right. Amen.
Amen to the four agreements.
Exactly. What
have
I'm
you reading,
right? Yes, I have.
Please,
I'm reading right
read
now.
That will also help you with some of the stuff we talked about earlier. Because seriously,
I'm on it. Yeah, she
not taking
she
it personally
it
is one of that was one of the hardest disconnects for me. Because again, as a people pleaser, you want to say yes all the time.
Yeah.
Let it go. Let it go. Yeah. And say exactly what you said. Your original question was, how do I say it? Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, given your relationship, if you told her, hey, you know, I'm just not feeling it, you're not going to have to go into a long essay
dissertation,
about
right?
why you're not feeling it. She's going to be like, okay, girl, see you Tuesday.
But you know what? There's more people like not than Adrian. Like, Adrian's an anomaly. I feel like in my circle.
You're in my transition.
Yeah, in my circle, as of recently, it has been like this or it's expected of me, because Melissa, you're always there. You always say yes.
Exactly. So why it's like, I'm worn out and not feeling
right. So it's
I'm worn
but
out.
you also create these habits. You create these habits. You create people's bad behaviors and how they interpret and receive you.
Right.
Based on what you allow and the boundaries that you do not create, that it kind of creates these habits where people get used to you being that person. So. And so who do you blame?
Yourself.
I can't be mad at you, because I am the reason why you feel like it's not okay for me to say no. I am, not you.
Own
I
it.
Am.
That's part own of owning it.
That's it. So
I'm an owning queen. I'm all about owning. I own almost to a default. Like sometimes I'm like, no, wait a second, Melissa. Actually, that wasn't you. Stop. That wasn't you. That person's an idiot. Right. Just step away from
sometimes
it.
Sometimes it's not your shit. And yet, the more you get in tune with your own shit and you start to know it and own it and be responsible for
you'll
it,
you'll notice it quicker.
You get real quick about, you know what? That's not my shit.
That one was mine.
I didn't feel it. They went off on me. Yeah. That's not my shit.
But I always sit with it first. I'm going on. Yeah, I always sit with it first. Like,
well,
Melissa,
it
is
dissected.
This,
did I say it rude?
Was it me? What did I
mean and nasty?
This is what I do. I do the analytical thing of me. And then if I go through the whole standard and it's like, wait a second, actually, nah,
bruh,
this is not me. Nope, not today. That wasn't me. That was you. But you know, either way, even if it's like happening to me, I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to get out of this? What's the lesson in this? There's always something in any situation that's happening to you that's for you.
True.
And so I believe, like, okay, well, you know what? This wasn't my shit, but I was brought into the awareness of this shit for something. So I'm going to take what I can get from it and then walk away.
But also be okay with the fact that sometimes it's not for you to take anything. It's for you to leave something.
Ooh.
Sometimes it's not for you to always learn something. Sometimes you are teaching the lesson.
Ooh.
So, hey, this ain't my shit.
But I'm glad to serve what I served, and now I'm going to go.
And now I'm going to go. And if you can't figure it out, if you really can't pull anything from that situation, then it was probably you teaching it.
Mm.
Be out. And don't worry about it.
Dope.
Because it's really...
dopeness.
Don't own nobody else's shit. It's hard enough to own our own. Just being serious.
It's too much shit. It's getting too smelly in here.
It's too much shit. Like, it's hard enough just to hold my own. So, no, it's like I said, sometimes you're learning a lesson, sometimes you're teaching, sometimes it's both.
Right.
So, again, the more you own your shit, the more you will realize what's yours, what's not, and you'll learn how to decipher between the two. I said what I said. I hate to quote one of the Love and Hip Hop people. I don't even know if it's Love and Hip Hop.
I said what I said.
But I love that meme. I said what I said. And I mean, I'm not feeling this.
That was Nene. That was Nene.
Was it Nene?
It just hit me. It was Nene. It was Nene.
So, again,
I said what I said.
I didn't even hear her say that. I just saw the meme and I was like, I am here for that meme.
It was good. It was
because
good. It was good.
Sometimes that's it. Like, and somebody taught me a long time ago, I love this link. Oh, my God, I love her to pieces, because this was one of the most valuable lessons ever. No is a complete sentence.
It sure is.
Oh, no, period.
No.
No, period. No.
Is a complete sentence.
No,
so if
period.
I said no, I don't need to give you an explanation, because right now the answer is just no.
Yeah.
It's a complete sentence. Be okay
is
with
that
saying,
we always have this need to like wanting other people to understand us. Or like we have
degree.
To explain something. Like, I know for me it's a very heavy thing, not to everyone.
Okay.
But to people that I really care about, like if I really care about you and I really care about what I'm saying, I really want you to understand what I'm saying. So I'm just sitting here like, okay, well, let me give it to you in this way and in this way and in that way, because I need you to get what I'm saying. But it really shouldn't matter, because at the end of the day, you should express yourself in the way that you're going to express it.
Yeah.
People are going to perceive it how they're going to perceive
it.
They're going to get what they're going to get out of it.
Right.
And guess what? Maybe whatever you were giving is not what you meant to give, but whatever they caught was for them.
Yeah.
So it's like, I shouldn't be mad that they caught it in whatever way they caught it. Whatever you even if you didn't catch anything, I threw it out there, is lingering there in the universe. Let it be.
And also, I think it's fair enough to give other people the responsibility to inquire if they need to. Like, I don't need to give you, I'm not going to volunteer like all this information just because I'm assuming that you need it so that you can feel comfortable with my decision.
Right. Mm.
Matter of fact, I'm just going to give you my decision just because that's what is best for me.
Mm,
and
right.
if you need more information,
call me, girl.
Then you, a grown person, you can inquire yourself. It's
but you
okay.
know, people are nosy. I don't even sure. want, sometimes okay. I don't even want questions. Like,
and that's, and then
I just
that's
feel like
you.
Some people are nosy. You know, people are nosy.
But what
but
did we just
for,
talk about earlier
but that's
though?
For,
just because they ask you something, don't mean you gotta respond.
It doesn't mean you have to
now
respond.
Now's not a good time for me.
Period.
Period.
Done.
It's a good complete sentence.
And you know I like complete sentences.
And you know, and you know, like, I mean, we all have people in our life that are, you know, we have people that are going to inquire because they want to help. Mm. And we have people that inquire because they just want to know.
Nosy. Right.
Yeah. So you know who those people are in your world and you'll address them accordingly.
Mm. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
There's some people I know I can just say straight up no to and they're just like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And then there's the, hey, I'm not feeling so well, people. Then there's the long ass drive that you have to write out for certain people. And I will say,
no,
those
audience.
People are getting less and less.
Yeah.
Because, hey, we ain't got time. Seriously, time is of the essence. I don't have time to sit here and explain it to you. I'm tired. No.
I don't have time to babysit other people's feelings.
No.
I don't have time to sit there
I
and assume.
Had enough time
first
on my
of all,
own.
This just goes crazy. So I don't have enough time to like sit there and assume what you're feeling and then address it in a way that I'm assuming. And then
I do that. I'm a Capricorn. I live in my head.
It's exhausting.
I live in my head. I need to shut it up.
Own that shit, girl.
It's freaking ridiculous. No, it's really ridiculous.
I think we all have that moment where we're in our heads.
You're
though,
just like, I overanalyze. Like, overanalyze and overly explain and overly try to, like, it is exhausting, actually.
Slow it down. And when you find yourself at that crossroads the next time where you feel like you're
explaining
yourself.
Like, I'm tired. I'm done.
And you're exhausted, pause and do something different. Stop explaining yourself. That's how you make the change.
Mm.
Right there at that crossroads. And you're like, you know like, what? I'm not feeling it. I'm not coming. And when the moment you start explaining yourself, Eric, reel it back in. I said what I said.
I said what I said.
I'm tired and I can't make it.
Mm.
And if you have to keep reiterating that same sentence over and over again, then
that's
you
okay.
can then start categorizing that person. I just can't keep doing this with you. Because now you know, that's not my shit.
Right.
That's you. I said I'm tired and I'm not coming.
It's just, it's a process. It's a process.
I love this new episode of Melissa Therapy, by the way.
I love it.
I'm here for Melissa Therapy. It's,
it's a process. It reminds me because you just said something that triggered. I'm listening to Brene Brown's Braving the Wilderness. So love her. Sad that she's on tour and
who's this
is
woman?
Sold out.
Explain who is she?
Brene Brown.
Mm-hmm. No.
So she did the TED Talks. It's a really, she's a researcher.
Yes.
Let me start there. So she's a researcher. She's been researching for the past, I don't know, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
About vulnerability and human social
shame.
Yes. Guilt, accountability, all this good stuff. So she wrote a book that's called, Braving the Wilderness. And it talks about the need for us to belong. And it is fantastic, but it also gives you some insight at how deeply rooted the blame game is, the sense of oversharing for the need to understand and belong. It is, I mean, she is backing it up with years and years of research. And girl, she's got me questioning, like, if I want to get married again. Like,
she's amazing.
It's really and,
good.
And not questioning in a bad way, but, like, it just questioning, like, you know, for my own self, like, what I have attached
really
to
want?
Marriage is a sense of belonging. I've been very, that's just how I, what I came up
it's
with.
It's ingrained in us.
And so I'm listening to this, and I was like, well, damn it. So she's just it's very powerful. And it's backed by research. So I understand that the topic that we're talking about today and all of its different layers, it just runs deep.
Mm-hmm.
It runs really deep. So it's not like an overnight, like,
I'm going
to own my shit and I'm going to take accountability. I'm going to be vulnerable. And then I'm going to start celebrating myself and forgive myself. I mean, it's a process.
This is a daily
journey.
Practice.
Right.
It is a daily practice.
It's like a full-time job for sure.
Yeah.
For
you have
sure.
to stay in a certain
you know
level
what?
Of consciousness to keep it in your daily practice because it's easy to just go back to your
and there's so many things that trigger.
It's so much easier to go back
the
to
the fact that
habits.
You can even say trigger, though, for 1 second, celebrate that because a lot of people don't even, one, know
they don't
they
notice.
Are.
Yeah, they're
if
like,
if they know what a trigger
that?
Is, then they damn sure don't even know what their own triggers are.
Right.
Mm.
So it's like if you know that and you're consciously walking into a trigger, then you at that moment have to own your shit.
Right.
Because you're consciously going into the forest saying, I know there's a trigger in there. Like, I know poison ivy's there. I'm walking right into it.
Yeah. The decision I'm
so
making.
So I also am owning the fact that every cause has an effect.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever happens, I'm not a victim in this situation. Why?
I chose it.
Because I walked into
that's
the poison
right.
ivy. I have this thing that I've been saying for years. I don't know what I'm going to do with the saying, but it frustrates me when people are like, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. Okay, oof. To go back to this. You can, but this is my opinion. You cannot build the tracks for the train. Stand on the tracks. Watch the train coming. Allow it to run you over and then stand up and say, I'm a victim. Absolutely not.
Right, because you just decided it.
No, you chose to build the tracks for the train to come, for it to run your ass over. You're not a victim. You plan that. You plan
it. You play a role in every situation in your life.
So if you know that that trigger is there, don't consciously walk into the trigger. Or do, but know that.
Accept the consequences.
There is a consequence to what I'm about to do. And you just have to be.
Awareness.
You have to be. It's a part of, I think, owning it is just the awareness, keeping it in the front of your consciousness of, hey, I'm aware I'm doing this. And sometimes you're going to say, I'm aware I'm doing
it. And it's worth it.
And I ain't there yet.
I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah, I'm going to keep doing this. Yeah. And I realize that there's going to be a consequence to this. And I don't know what I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to keep going to In-N-Out.
That In-N-Out burger is so good.
I'm going to keep getting this fat burger with cheese. Why? Because that's where I'm at right now.
And I might get it from time to time.
Right.
With bacon. So I'm saying, I mean, that's where I'm at.
It's supposed to be with bacon.
Right. Because what's a burger without bacon and some fries? So I'm saying, that's, again, like you said, part of owning your shit. It's not like, oh, I said I owned it, so I'm owning it. It is a level of consciousness that says I'm keeping this. You know, I'm keeping my awareness on my actions and what I'm doing and being responsible for the outcome no matter what it is. So that also plays a part to it.
Big.
Yeah.
Big.
Huge.
I feel like we've gone through the gambit tonight.
Oof.
I know. It feels so good.
It feels so good.
I feel like I've been hanging out in therapy.
Melissa Therapy.
I'm here for Melissa Therapy. Totally here for it.
I love it.
So are we ready to redefine this
truth?
Yes,
we are.
So how much of what happens in your life has to do with you? Well, it starts with accountability. Yeah. Being able to notice your decisions, the circumstances of your life that led to the reoccurring cycle. Owning your circumstances and your decisions will allow you to understand that life, it is not happening to you, rather for you. Right. So take ownership of your situation so you can break away from the unnecessary.
That's right.
I love that.
I like that redefined truth.
I love that.
Webster didn't know what he was talking about.
First of all, y'all have blown a hole in most of his definitions. So, I mean,
we agree with a few of them. A few were good. A few were good, but
I just like how they can have, you know, several different meanings.
Yeah. So many.
We could change
so
it. It's time to change. It's 2017. Why not?
That's right.
Why
that's
not?
Right. Well, why that's not? What we're doing. You're welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
You're welcome.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, we cannot leave without letting you know where to get your girlfriend in a box.
Yay!
Hey!
Girlfriend in the box.
So this is what the package looks like.
Isn't she cute?
She's so cute. She got a little dancer right here, little girl.
She has her little cocktail.
Yes.
And I just want to send a shout out to my business partner, Sonya King. I absolutely love her.
We wish you could be here.
She is in Atlanta holding down the East Coast side of our operation. Woo-hoo! And I mean, we would just be lost without her. So
this is true.
I just love her. And I miss you. I love you.
Great shout out.
I had to. It's my dog, Nelly.
So for all of you that want to buy your girlfriend in a box for yourself and your girlfriends, you can go to Etsy, and it is under Your Beautiful Truth, all one word.
All one word.
And for your daily inspirations and discussions,
find us on IG.
Yes. You can follow them on Instagram, your_beautiful_truth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, Your Beautiful Truth.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So yes, go check them out.
Thank you for having me.
This
is awesome.
This is great. And with that, we've got our challenge for the week, y'all.
Boom, let's do it.
Okay, so whether you want to induce growth, evolution, or just be released from the burden that comes with it, identify and make the list of attributes and characteristics or habits that you want or need to let go of to get back to self. Take a picture of it. Yeah. Tag us that this is true.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And then if you need to find us, you know where to find us.
We're everywhere.
So you can find us at This True on Instagram, Facebook. Let's see. iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud.
Yes.
Instagram.
Yes. We're all everywhere.
All of it. So yes.
We're so in unison. I love it.
Yes. With that, thank you so much, Kelly, for joining us.
This is so great having me. This is
can't wait for you to come back.
Oh my God, yeah, I can't wait to come back.
Oh, there's going to be a second time.
Yes.
Oh, we got to have a second time.
Bye. Laters.